In the summer of 2024, during what was honestly one of the most chaotic political cycles in American history, there were billions of dollars just flying across different betting platforms.
Yeah, it was an absolute Wild West.
Right. And the crazy thing is, if you looked closely at the data, these platforms completely disagreed on reality. I mean, on the exact same day, looking at the exact same candidate, one platform might tell you there was like a 50% chance of them winning the presidency.
And then you click over to another site, just one tab away, and they swear the odds are 56%.
Exactly. So, welcome to today's deep dive. We are looking at the exact plumbing of how that fragmented chaos finally coalesces into a single truth.
It's a fascinating process to
It
unpack.
really is. We're diving into this really interesting economic paper from March 2026. It's titled Price Discovery Across Political Prediction Markets: Evidence from the 2024 U.S. Presidential Election by researchers Emrehan Aktu and Orhan Turul.
And the paper is essentially a postmortem of this high-stakes experiment. Because traditional financial rules didn't apply to these platforms, the 2024 election became this, unprecedented natural laboratory.
Which is awesome for the data.
Right. We get to look under the hood and see which market architecture is actually the best at capturing reality first.
But really quickly, before we get into the weeds, I want to issue a very clear disclaimer for you listening. We are going to be discussing some highly charged, specific political events from 2024.
Yeah, candidate withdrawals, the debates, major historical shocks.
Exactly. But our analysis today is strictly about market mechanics, data flow, and platform architecture. We are entirely impartial here.
100%. We are not taking any political sides.
Right, and we're not endorsing any viewpoints of the candidates or the sources either. We are merely reporting on how these financial platforms physically reacted to the data inputs of those historical events.
That is a really crucial foundation for this discussion. We're looking at these events purely as massive injections of new variables into a pricing model.
So let's map out this Wild West. During the 2024 election, the paper tracks nine different venues that were all trying to price the exact same binary event, which was who would win.
Nine venues, one underlying asset.
Right. You had a crypto-based platform called Polymarket. You had centralized betting exchanges, like Betfair and eventually Kalshi. And then you had six traditional sports books.
Places like Bovada, BetOnline, William Hill.
Yeah. So in a normal financial system, the price of that asset would be identical across all nine, right?
Absolutely. In a normal market, they'd match perfectly.
Okay, let's unpack this with an analogy. Imagine nine separate islands trying to guess tomorrow's weather.
I like that.
They can't communicate with each other, they use entirely different currencies, and their residents are legally barred from traveling between them. That is essentially what this specific market looked like.
And it raises an important question, right? Why were they so aggressively isolated from one another?
Exactly. Why couldn't they just sync up?
Well, to understand the isolation, we have to look at how normal markets function. If you look at U.S. stock markets, they are incredibly unified.
Because of regulations, right?
Yeah, there's a framework called Regulation NMS. It basically mandates that trades happen at the best available price across all exchanges.
Okay, so a unified rule book.
Right. And on top of that, you have high-frequency arbitragers. So if a stock like Apple costs, say, one penny less on the NASDAQ than it does on the New York Stock Exchange.
The supercomputers step in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They instantly buy the cheaper one and sell the more expensive one. They do this millions of times a second until the prices perfectly match.
Ah, the law of one price.
Wow.
The arbitragers act like gravity, pulling everything back to a single baseline.
Precisely. But prediction markets suffered from these severe structural and legal frictions. U.S. citizens were legally banned from using offshore crypto sites like Polymarket.
And they're blocked from UK-based exchanges like Betfair, too, right?
Yes. Furthermore, capital was almost completely immobilized. I mean, you couldn't quickly or cheaply move your money from a crypto wallet on the blockchain into a fiat currency account at a traditional sports book.
Which completely explains the absurdity of the pricing. The paper actually notes that because of these massive walls between the islands, the average price gap between platforms was a staggering 6.2 percentage
Which
points.
is massive. In financial terms, economists refer to this as the limbo to arbitrage.
Meaning you just can't cross the bridge to fix the price.
Right. When traders physically or legally cannot cross that bridge to correct a pricing error, the gaps just sit there unresolved.
And because the gaps just sat there, We genuinely didn't know which island was generating the efficient price, you know, the true probability.
Which sets up the ultimate heavyweight fight of this deep dive. Out of these 9 isolated islands, who actually drives the truth?
Who figures out the correct odds first? And who is just like copying the answers from someone else's test?
Exactly. And to figure this out, the researchers used some incredibly heavy mathematical artillery. They mentioned using vector error correction models and calculating the Hasbrouck information share.
Okay, wait, pause. We can't just drop vector error correction models and keep walking.
Fair enough.
I mean, how does that mathematics actually work? How do you mathematically prove who moved first when the data is jumping around every single second?
So think of it like a dance between two people attached by a bungee cord. They might drift apart temporarily.
Oh, so that's the 6.2% price gap we talk about.
Precisely. But eventually, the cord pulls them back into alignment. The vector error correction model measures the tension on that cord.
It looks at every single tick.
Every single price tick on a millisecond level to see who is pulling and who is being pulled.
That is wild.
Yeah, and then the Hasbrouck information share assigns a percentage to each dancer. So if platform A makes a move and platform B eventually snaps to match platform A's new position, platform A gets the credit for discovering that new information.
Oh, I see. So it's essentially filtering out the noise to find the true signal generator.
That's a great way to put it.
And the results they found using this model are completely definitive. When they ran the numbers, Polymarket and Betfair just crushed the competition.
It wasn't even close.
Jointly, those two platforms accounted for nearly 85% of all price discovery in the election. Meanwhile, the 6 traditional sports books contributed almost nothing.
Barely a statistical blip on the radar.
Wait, hold on, though. Bovada, William Hill, these traditional sports books have massive risk departments, actuaries, algorithms, giant server farms.
Oh, they process billions of dollars in volume.
Right. So are you telling me their massive operations don't contribute to finding the true price at all? I would have assumed their vast resources made them the smartest guys in the room.
It is entirely counterintuitive until you look at their business model. The paper actually formalizes this in what they call Proposition 4.
Okay, what does Proposition 4 say?
The underlying mechanism is that sportsbooks aren't actually trying to discover information. They are structurally designed to manage risk.
How does managing risk prevent them from finding the right price?
Because finding the most accurate price involves taking on exposure. A sportsbook just wants a perfectly balanced book.
Meaning equal money on both sides.
Exactly. Yeah. They want an equal amount of money on candidate A and candidate B. That way, no matter who wins the election, the sports book takes their guaranteed cut.
Like the overround or the VIG?
Right, the VIG.
Yeah.
And they pay out the winning bets using the losing bet's money. They are in the business of guaranteed margins, not fortune telling.
Wow. So if they see the true odds of a candidate drop from 50% to 40% on the news, they don't immediately drop their own odds.
Not if dropping the odds ruins their balanced book. They update their numbers very infrequently, manually adjusting them only when their internal risk thresholds are breached.
So what are they doing in the meantime?
In practice, they just monitor the true exchanges, like Polymarket and Betfair, and copy those prices with a deliberate lag to protect their profit margins.
That is fascinating.
Yeah, the Hasbrouck data mathematically proves they are informational followers. They wait for the dust to settle on the exchanges, and then they adjust.
They are basically reading yesterday's newspaper and acting like they broke the story.
Exactly. The permanent updates to the truth are happening on the exchanges, where participants are directly trading against each other and continuously updating the price with their own money.
And that distinction between a sports book and an exchange is just the first layer here, because once we zoom in on the two platforms actually finding the truth, Polymarket and Betfair, we discover they do it in completely different ways.
This is where the mechanics get really fascinating. The narrative of who leads the market completely flips depending on the time horizon you look at.
Right. So the paper shows that at ultra-fast 5-minute intervals, Polymarket is the undisputed king. It leads the market's price discovery.
But if you zoom out and look at 1-hour intervals, Betfair takes the crown.
It's a beautiful demonstration of how market architecture dictates behavior. It really all comes down to their specific plumbing.
And we should definitely use a mechanical metaphor to explain this plumbing.
Yeah, let's do it. So Polymarket is what is known as an automated market maker, or an AM. Imagine an algorithmic vending machine.
A vending machine that never sleeps.
Right. It doesn't need a human to stock it, and it always gives you a price instantly based on a strict mathematical formula of what is left inside. It has zero latency. You press the button, you get the odds.
But there is a severe trade-off with that vending machine model, which is the lack of deep liquidity.
Okay, right. The concept of slippage. Can you break down mechanically how slippage punishes a trader on an AMM?
Sure. Because the AMM relies on a fixed algorithmic curve rather than a deep pool of human buyers and sellers. The money in the machine is relatively shallow.
So a small bet is fine.
Exactly. If you try to buy one digital contract, the price is fine. But if you are a whale trying to drop $10 million at once, the algorithm dynamically spikes the price against you for every additional contract you try to buy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, before your transaction even finishes, your own massive order has moved the market so far that you are overpaying drastically. You slip away from the actual value.
So the vending machine is lightning fast, but it financially penalizes deep-pocketed traders. Now, contrast that with Betfair, which operates as a limit order book or an LOB.
Right. If an AMM is a vending machine, a limit order book is an open, bustling bazaar.
And in a bazaar, you can't just press a button and force a mathematical formula to trade with you.
No. You have to shout out your price and wait for another human or their trading algorithm to agree to take the other side of your bet.
Which inherently takes time. It introduces latency.
But the advantage of the bazaar is that it can handle the whales. Deep-pocketed institutional traders can quietly place massive limit orders and wait for them to fill over an hour,
absorbing huge amounts of capital without instantly shifting the market price against themselves.
They are perfectly complementary systems.
Yeah.
The automated market maker processes the immediate, violent shock of breaking news because its algorithm reacts in milliseconds.
But the limit order book processes the deeper, more deliberative consensus.
Right. It takes longer to get moving, but it carries the heavy, informed capital over the long haul.
That dynamic, you know, the lightning-fast vending machine and the deep-pocketed bazaar that ruled the 2024 election cycle for months, they were the two kings of price discovery.
Until the rules changed.
Exactly. What happens if you suddenly bulldoze the walls between those islands? That wasn't just a theoretical question, because in October 2024, the rules of the game fundamentally changed.
The entrance of Kalshi. This is perhaps the most dramatic data point in the entire study.
On October 4th, 2024, literally 1 month before Election Day, Kalshi enters the arena. Kalshi is a CFTC-regulated, legal, U.S.-based exchange.
They fought a grueling legal battle just to be allowed to list election contracts for U.S. citizens.
Yeah, and they finally get the green light and they jump into this chaotic market at the 11th hour.
And the data is just wild. Within just 32 days of launching, this brand new platform captured an astonishing 41% of the total information share.
That is staggering.
It gets crazier. Its mere existence caused those massive 6.2% price gaps across all the other fragmented markets to shrink by 42%.
Wait, how does a newborn platform, just weeks old, suddenly rival a multi-billion dollar giant like Polymarket in discovering the truth?
It's all about access.
And more importantly, how did it physically force the other islands to align their prices?
Well, it proves a fundamental economic reality: architectural access beats incumbency.
Okay, break that down.
For months, you had a massive pool of highly informed, well-capitalized U.S. traders, hedge funds, institutional quants, high net worth individuals.
But they couldn't play.
Right. They were legally locked out of Polymarket because it operates offshore in crypto, and locked out of Betfair because of UK gaming regulation.
But they had the capital and the predictive models, but they had no venue.
They were just sitting on the sidelines watching the offshore markets misprice the election.
Oh, I see. The moment Kalshi opened its doors, it provided a regulated, legally compliant limit order book architecture right in their backyard.
Yes. That pent-up pool of U.S. capital just flooded the venue. They didn't need years to build up trading volume. The legal structure itself enabled them to become an informational leader overnight.
But walk me through the mechanics of that 42% gap compression. How did a trader in New York legally trading on Kalshi force an illegal offshore platform to fix its price?
Through the gravitational pull of capital.
Gravitational pull.
Imagine you were a sophisticated trading desk. You see that Kalshi is pricing a candidate at 50%. But an offshore platform is pricing them at 56%.
Okay.
Even if you can't seamlessly bridge the money between the two platforms to run a pure instantaneous arbitrage bot, the mere presence of a highly liquid, deeply capitalized U.S. baseline changes the behavior of global participants.
Because the offshore traders see the massive volume on Kalshi and realize their 56% price is a massive overvaluation.
Exactly. The offshore market makers manually correct their own prices to align with the new, undeniable center of gravity. Kelshi acted like an anchor dropping into a stormy sea.
That perfectly explains how the baseline works when things are functioning normally. But the 2024 election was anything but normal.
That's an understatement.
It was defined by unprecedented historical shocks. The researchers actually stress-tested this entire plumbing system against those specific event windows. How did these architectures hold up when things went completely off the rails?
The data paints a very clear picture of regime change. Market plumbing behaves very differently during a crisis than it does during peacetime.
Let's look at the weekend of July 13th, the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. This happened on a Saturday evening. Paint the picture of what was happening inside the market plumbing in those immediate hours.
It comes back to human versus algorithmic architecture. Because the shock occurred on a weekend evening, the traditional sports books were structurally paralyzed.
Because their people were literally off the clock.
Basically, yeah. The human risk managers who manually update their internal odds were offline or reacting too slowly. Their manual models simply could not process a black swan event of that magnitude instantaneously.
So the sportsbook's odds stayed completely stale.
It's completely stale. But the crypto prediction markets, like Polymarket, are running on the blockchain.
They don't have weekend hours.
Exactly. The automated market maker algorithm doesn't sleep. It allowed participants to trade on the breaking news second by second.
Wow.
During that weekend window, Polymarket's information share surged to 24%. It became the solitary beacon of price discovery purely because its architecture didn't need human intervention to function.
Latency isn't just about measuring milliseconds. It's about 247 uptime.
Exactly right.
And then we move to 8 days later, July 21st, the announcement of President Biden's withdrawal from the race, arguably the single largest shock of the cycle, injecting massive volatility into the market.
Absolutely massive.
Following that event, Polymarket and Betfair jointly accounted for 78% of all price discovery.
And the researchers utilized a statistical tool called jump detection for this window.
Jump detection? What is that?
It mathematically identifies sudden, explosive price spikes that deviate from normal trading patterns. They found that Polymarket and Betfair led 91% of all the statistical jumps in the market during this period.
91%. So the traditional sportsbooks were completely sidelined.
This is the regime change we mentioned. When volatility is low and the news cycle is slow during the spring months, the traditional odds makers and sports books handle the steady flow of retail money just fine.
But the moment the campaign's salience spiked and a massive political shock hit,
the manual risk models just broke down, the sheer volume and velocity of new information overwhelmed them.
Power was instantly pulled away from the traditional establishment and handed directly to the high-frequency algorithms and deep order books on the exchanges.
The exchanges became the absolute arbiters of reality.
So let's synthesize this journey we've been on. We started with this chaotic, fragmented world, 9 isolated islands trying to predict the future with widely different answers.
Right.
What the data definitively proves is that the venues that actually discover the truth are the ones built like exchanges, where participants are free to trade against each other continuously.
Yeah, the static sportsbooks, whose main goal is just to protect a profit margin, contribute almost nothing to our understanding of reality.
And crucially, how fast that truth is discovered depends entirely on the underlying plumbing.
The zero latency algorithm of an automated market maker captures the immediate violent shock of an event,
while the deeper liquidity of a limit order book captures the long-term, heavily capitalized consensus.
And as the Kelshi shock proved, simply changing who is legally allowed to access that plumbing can shift the entire market's center of gravity overnight.
It fundamentally changes how you have to look at forecasting.
It really does. And the main takeaway I want you, the listener, to leave with is this. Whenever you look at a poll or a stock price or an election probability on your phone screen, you have to remember that the number you are looking at is not some pure abstract truth handed down from on high.
It's a manufactured output.
Exactly. That number is entirely constrained, shaped, and generated by the mechanical architecture of the platform that produced it. If you don't understand the plumbing, you don't understand the price. The medium really is the message.
That is a profound point. The plumbing dictates the reality we see. We started this deep dive talking about a shattered thermometer, right? Wishing for a single, clean glass tube to just tell us the simple truth.
But this paper proves something entirely counterintuitive.
Right. Having a fragmented ecosystem fast, shallow vending machines working in parallel with deep, slightly slower bazaars actually created a vastly more resilient and accurate aggregate picture of the truth than either system could have produced entirely on its own.
They covered each other's structural blind spots.
The friction itself forced the market to be rigorously tested from multiple angles.
Absolutely.
And that leaves me with a final provocative thought for you to mull over. If this paper proves that architectural diversity, you know, different platforms with different rules, different speeds, and different participants, is actually the secret to finding the ultimate truth in financial markets,
would we be rethinking how we structure everything else?
Exactly. Should we be intentionally designing our social media networks, our news algorithms, and our corporate decision-making systems to be fragmented, diverse, and slightly incompatible?
It's a fascinating question.
Instead of endlessly trying to build one single monopolistic platform where everyone perfectly agrees, maybe the absolute best way to find the truth is to just make sure the thermometer stays broken.